Hi. Welcome to Holden Village. Today is Tuesday, August 27th, 1996. In the fireside room this morning, our speaker is John Bucca. Today, he will be continuing his series on the Ten Commandments. The second commandment, and the name is... Let's listen in.
What I want to do is review a little bit from yesterday as well. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, you draw us together in the waters of our baptism. And in the waters of our baptism, you call us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Empower us to continue that growth, not only now, but always, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Especially want to welcome our youth from San Diego. And we know you've been traveling a long ways. And what we want to do today, first of all, a little bit about who I am. I am a parish pastor, which means that which means that I do this every week. A little hint about confirmation that you need to know. Most parish pastors sometimes dislike confirmation as much as sometimes youth do. So if you are in the habit of waiting to come to confirmation, I noticed what I commented on, you're no different than the kids in Minnesota. They wait until 3 minutes after they're supposed to be there, and then maybe they'll trickle in. So we're really glad you're here. And I want to find out who all of you are. Some of you have been here yesterday. Tell me who you are.
Your name? Jason.
Jason. What age are you?
12.
And are you in confirmation yet?
Yes, ma'am.
Give me one thing you like about confirmation and one thing you don't like about it.
One thing I like and one thing I don't. One thing I like is you get to associate with other people. One thing I don't like is just sit around.
Okay. Relate. Okay. Can you sit around while we find out who everybody else is? Thank you. Okay, relationships are important. Tell me your name.
Brian.
And how old are you?
12.
Are you in confirmation yet?
Nope.
Will you be this fall?
Mm-hmm.
And what is one thing you look forward to and one thing you don't look forward to about confirmation? Don't have a clue. Tell me your name.
Brian.
And how old are you?
13.
Are you in confirmation yet?
Yeah.
What do you like about it? What don't you like about it?
I like acting the stuff up.
Okay.
And reading a lot out of the
book. Okay. Your name?
Laurel.
And give me one thing you like, one thing you don't like.
I like to get together and see everybody and read the Bible, and I don't like.
You don't like your... Okay. Tell me your name.
Emily.
And how old are you?
13.
See, I can still get away with asking girls' ages at this point in my life. Okay, and I'm just going to talk to the kids right now, if you don't mind. Okay, and what do you like and what don't you like about confirmation?
I like the discussions, but I don't like being up at 10:30 on Saturday morning.
Oh, you have it on Saturday mornings. Oh, my. Okay. You are?
I'm Justin.
And how
16.
Old are you? You're 16 and you've been through this.
Yes.
Been there, done that.
Yes, yeah.
What did you like? What didn't you like?
I liked being around my friends, but I didn't like, I guess just the time was right between everything.
Okay, you're involved in a lot of stuff? Okay. Tell me your name.
Andy.
And how old are you?
16.
And you've been here, done that?
No.
Oh, you haven't been here? You haven't done that? Are you in confirmation now? You're a visitor.
You joined the church after confirmation age.
Oh.
So started with us.
Okay, so
ninth grade.
You don't have...
I was in eighth grade.
You don't have to go through this.
Right. Mm-hmm. Going through the adult.
The adult, okay.
He gave me a 20-minute session.
I'm impressed. He knows everything in 20 minutes. Okay. Sir.
Sean,
how old are you?
12.
Are you in confirmation yet?
No.
Will you be?
Yes.
And look forward to it?
I guess.
You guess. You're not sure. Your name, sir.
Kelly.
And how old
14.
Are you?
There's not much I look forward to in confirmation.
Okay.
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 It's pretty much, I don't know. It's usually in our churches in the middle of all of our times.
Like, we have, like, special nights on Thursdays and things. We have, like, a dinner.
Uh-huh.
And we have choir, and we have confirmation, and we go home. The socialization is really low, and sometimes we do, like, two groups, like, one boy, one girl, so it's...
Okay. Okay, so it's been a tough time.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me your name.
Susan.
And how old are you?
12.
And are you in a confirmation program?
Not yet.
This fall?
Yeah.
What do you look forward to?
Oh, I don't really know.
You're not sure?
No.
Okay.
DK Junior.
DK Junior. Okay. How old?
12.
And are you in confirmation yet?
No.
Do you look forward to it?
No.
You're not sure. Sir, what are you?
Sean.
And how old?
13.
Are you in confirmation?
Yes.
Do you look forward to it or not?
Yeah, I do.
What do you look forward to about?
Just to see all my friends.
Okay. Relationships, once again, are important. Your name, sir?
Jenna.
And how old are you?
15.
You are in confirmation?
No.
You're not? Okay, help me out. That means you're a...
Well, his grandma that goes to our church, he's with that every other weekend. So
You're
mostly living with his other grandma.
Okay, okay. What we want to do today is create a multi-generational experience for confirmation. And what we mean to do and what we need to do is to make sure that we have enough of these books. I brought 25 of them along, and some people took them yesterday, and some people did not. So we need to make sure that one person or one book is in the hands of every two people. Okay? So you got two there. We need somebody to share with. Okay, John.
And Pam's got one up in the room.
All right. Okay.
Anyway, we have it.
Okay. And we're going to, first of all today, we're going to start by talking about the second commandment. And then we're going to ask you to get up and move around, if you will, okay? Turn to page 6. Turn to page 6. And the second commandment, someone read that, please. It's on the left-hand column of page 6. Don't all volunteer at once. Sir, tell me your name again.
Andy.
Andy, go ahead.
You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God.
Okay, we need somebody to say, what does this mean? Who's going to read that? Jason, right? Your name is Jason?
Yeah.
Okay.
We are to fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, practice magic, lie, or deceive using God's name, but instead use that very name in every time of need to call on, praise, and give thanks to God.
Okay, we're going to turn to page 8 now. I want you to stand up. The exercise we're going to do is called, Where Do You Stand? Stand up, please, and be ready to move. The true side is here. The false side is there. When we ask a question, the problem now is, is it a wrongful use of God's name when? Okay, we're going to go do 15 of these. Are you ready to move? Do you understand what we're doing?
Yes.
Okay. When someone prays before shooting a free throw. True is here, false there. Is it a wrongful use of God's name when someone prays before shooting a free throw? True is there, false is there. Come on. Is it a wrongful use of God's name when someone prays before shooting a free throw?
What's a free throw?
Basketball? Excuse me? I'm sorry. They don't play basketball in San Diego. I'm sorry. Okay, so let me say, false people are here, correct?
Yes.
True people are here. Come on, take a stand, let's go.
Come on, move, guys.
Either one.
Either or.
Okay, if you're in between, that's cool. Okay, that's cool. If you're in between, I like to talk to the in-between folks. Andy, how come you're in between?
Because it's not something that I don't think is particularly wrong, but I'm not sure whether it is or not, so I'm in between.
Okay, tell me your name again.
Susan.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell me.
Well, I'm not sure if it's, like, wrong or right, because I don't know if, like, he's saying a prayer or if he's, like, saying, oh, God, let me make this shot.
Okay.
It's like,
okay. Well, okay. Let's go here. Sir, tell me your name.
Jeremy.
Jeremy. Why do you think it's a wrongful use of God's name? You don't know.
I'm
you went there.
Well, this is true.
True. I mean, yeah. True, it is. See, is it wrongful? True. Why do you think it is?
Oh, okay.
I think it's because he's using God for his own goodwill. So
okay.
In a way, using God.
Okay, in a way, using God. Tell me your name, sir.
Mel.
Mel, why?
I think it's frivolous.
Frivolous. Explain what that means to me, sir. What do you mean by frivolous?
That he should be over here. No.
No. It is a wrongful use of God's name. This is true. Okay?
I think it's not a very serious thing.
Okay, it's not a very serious thing.
John, I feel like I'm in the wrong place. I misunderstood.
Okay.
I think that you can call on God for anything.
Oh, okay. We got some changes. That's no problem. Paul.
I think he's only asking you to do his best.
Okay, he's only asking to do his best. Right.
Yeah, I don't know what the prayer is, but if he's asking for God's presence and he does his best, that's great.
All right. Okay. Second question. Is it a wrongful use of God's name when someone uses God's name to sell a product? True? It is a wrongful use of God's name? False. It isn't a wrongful use of God's name.
I'm glad you guys saw the light.
Okay. Part of the issue of confirmation is it should be fun. Okay? And if it's not fun,
it's not.
Then we should take a look at what makes it not fun. Okay, we have someone over here, and I love to hear from people. Tell me your name.
Deborah.
Tell me why you do not think it's wrong.
Well, I'm actually not sure it isn't wrong, but I'm sort of in the middle. I don't know that it's any really different than number one, because if he's trying to do his best, a salesperson is just trying to do a job.
Okay.
And if they're just trying to do their best, I think they're just calling on God's name to do their best again.
Okay, yes, sir.
When they sell merchandise here, are they doing it in God's name?
Good question.
Is that
are they
going to the church?
The merchandise, the money goes to Holden Village.
But is that a church? That's Church Foundation, right?
You bet.
Okay, so then that's using God as a product in a certain way.
Because well,
they print Jesus on a shirt. That's
could be, but they're not. You tell me your name again.
Kelly.
They're not saying, you know, Kelly, God wants you to have this shirt. And God spoke directly to me to say that you should buy this shirt. Now, are they saying that?
No.
Okay. But that's one, that's another example. You raise a good point. You raise a good point about the possibility of churches manipulating people to do the things that they want. Okay? Other comments here. Todd, why did you end up over here?
Well, I didn't know what exactly that would be, that it would have using God's name. I thought you were swearing in a commercial as well.
Oh,
I took it.
Swearing in a commercial.
And using God's name in that way.
There are some FCC regulations about that prevent that from happening. There are no FCC regulations lately about the quality of words within a song. Okay? That's been relaxed much over the years. Okay? Alright, number three, let's keep going. Is it a wrongful use of God's name when television evangelists say God wants you to send money to support their programs? True? False? Oh, Robert Schuller would be greatly disappointed.
Oh, you.
Yeah, I'm going to the other side.
Okay. Part of this is your faith should make you want to take a stand about what you believe and why you believe it. Okay? And even though you don't know at this time, now is the time to start thinking about it. Why are you here, Andy? Why are you here?
I don't believe that the TV show people, let's just use that as an example, should say God wants you to send his money.
Okay. By the way, if you send it to the Hour of Power, you might get a special gift, too. Okay. Tell me why you're here.
Why I'm here?
You're standing here, rather than over there.
We're still on three?
We're on three.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's
frivolous.
Frivolous. No, I think it works out.
Okay. You think it's worse than that?
Yes.
Can you describe that?
I think it's being untruthful.
Okay, being untruthful. There was a man named Oral Roberts who years ago said, I'm going to pray that God will give this church $8 million, and if God does not give this church $8 million, what did he say? God's going to take me, I think.
Yeah.
All right? That's using God's name in vain. Yes, sir.
Okay, in Israel, okay, they used to have people bring in sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have priests there, the men, would say, yes, God is telling us that you should bring this in for a sacrifice for your family.
That's right.
And have well-being. And that's the exact same thing as in going on a commercial and saying, you know what, God wants you to do this.
Except that what that sacrifice did in the Old Testament was make them right with God, and that was a prescribed ritual sacrifice that was described in the Old Testament.
But was it brought by people or by God itself?
By God. Okay? You can go into Deuteronomy, you can go into Leviticus, you can go into the first five books of the Bible and see the prescribed rituals that the priests were following. They believed that the writer wrote that from God. Excellent question. Let's go over here.
I believe by supporting Robert Schuller, I'm supporting the ministry of the Word, and just like I am in my own congregation.
Okay. And Billy Graham, by the way, just went through Minneapolis, had a wonderful crusade in Minneapolis. And I will tell you that any one of the people in our community that went up, that were in our neighborhood, I got a card out. So as a bad rap, as some we in the organized church have come down on televangelists and world evangelists, I can't say that about Billy Graham. I appreciate it. I do have Robert Schuller's autograph, so I'm not totally anti-Robert Schuller. Why are you here, Bob?
Well, what if a person is sick or in a nursing home or something like that, they can't get to church? I was not feeling well earlier this summer, and I watched I can't remember who it was, really, but it was very inspirational.
And you
said I didn't send any money, however, maybe if I would have been a regular watcher, I would have been moved.
Here's the double bind to get into, kids. 1979, First Lutheran in Auburn Lee, Minnesota, we went on the airwaves. We were on television in the local ABC outlet in Austin, Minnesota. Airtime in that day, that's 16, 17 years ago, cost us $550 an hour. It also cost us $12,000 to install Klieg lights in the sanctuary so that the quality of the broadcast or the telecast would be good enough for people to see. Now, in the state of Minnesota, Lutheranism is almost like the state religion. Okay? There are Lutherans on every block behind every tree. And if you can't make it in Minnesota on TV with a Lutheran program, you can't make it. But that's the pressure that these evangelists are under. For Shula's production, I'm sure it costs 20 times that each Sunday. All right, let's keep going. Number four, someone prays for healing. True? It's a wrongful use of God's name? False? It's not a wrongful use of God's name. Yeah, it is not a wrongful use. It is. No brainer. No brainer. Okay?
No brainer.
Had an issue, though, however. I was a youth pastor, 10th grader. Made a dismount off a high bar. Broke his neck. Cervical 4, cervical 5, vertebrae. He was in the Mayo Clinic. And I was on the way to Rochester, Minnesota to hear from his doctor that he would never walk again. At that time, in that place, we had a minister who was an Assemblies of God minister who went in to his room, had a pastor's phone call on the local radio station, thanked God for having healed him, and praise God that he would walk out of that hospital on his two legs, and he never, ever did. Okay? Now, was that a wrongful use of God's name or not?
Yes.
Paul, what do you think?
It's a sticky subject, really. It seems to me it is. To do it in a flippant, you know, way, and yet we're asked to pray for healing.
Okay.
All of the scriptures.
Okay. Now, what are we doing here? We say, you shall not make a wrongful use of God's name. And basically what happens is that young people say, what does that mean? What we're asking you to do is to consider, what does it mean? And what does it mean to you in your life? Okay, let's keep going. Let's keep moving. Five, someone says, gosh dang it, when he or she is angry. It is a wrongful use of God's name. It isn't a wrongful use of God's name. It is. It isn't. Yes, sir.
It's not totally swearing.
That's right. Well, we'll talk about it.
Gosh.
However you decide to interpret it. That's why you have to make a stand here, folks. It is in it or it isn't. Okay. Sir, you're in the middle.
I have moved yet.
You've moved. Okay. Laura. But your counterparts over there would say,
well,
it's not. Tell me, what do you think? What are you going to say to them? Come on, you made a stand. What are you going to say? Just hang on. Let's hear from Laura.
Well,
don't be intimidated by those people.
Yeah.
Hold your ground.
You said gosh, but if you didn't use the word God, then it would be. If you just said gosh, then it probably would be.
I have a daughter who is a ninth grader, and she's going to be a cheerleader this year for her hockey. And once in a while, she says, oh, my God. And I say, wait a minute. So she came back from cheerleading camp saying, oh, my Bob. Wrongful use of God's name? Laura would say so, wouldn't you?
Oh, my God, you mean?
No. What about oh, my Bob?
No.
No. Interesting. Let's see.
Sometimes people say it like as a bad thing and not as a bad thing. Like if people say thank you God, like thanks God or something, like thank God for that. If something almost happened, people may think you're swearing or something, but it could mean different things. Like oh my God could mean like oh, you know. So it just depends on like how you interpret it.
Depends on what's up here, huh?
Yeah.
What's between you? Andy?
I'm in the middle because, first of all, I don't know what you were asking very well, whether you were replacing gosh dang it with something else.
See, that's up to you to proceed.
But if you did mean, like, for instance, God damn it, excuse me, but...
Okay. We all know God's last name isn't damn.
It's really... I think it's really a figure of speech because I know when I have said it, I'm not meaning to damn the Lord.
Okay. Or damn someone else.
Or someone else, or use his name in vain. It's mostly a big figure of speech nowadays. So it depends on what you mean behind it.
Okay, so you're talking about what we used to say as colloquialisms. Tell me your name, Marilyn? Okay.
Well, I think if you use God's name, I mean, we use a lot of slang in our speaking,
mm-hmm.
But I think if you use God's name, well, then it's wrong.
Okay. Let's continue. Let's jump to seven. Someone uses a horoscope to plan his or her day. It is a wrongful use of God's name. It isn't a wrongful use of God's name. Someone uses a horoscope to plan his or her day. It is. It isn't. Okay. Let's hear from the isn'ts. Sir, tell me your name.
Brian.
What is a horoscope? Good question. Somebody tell Brian what a horoscope is. Jason.
It has to deal with astrology and stars and how the planets affect everybody.
It's what's going to happen to you that day.
Yeah, there's a column. Yeah, isn't this terrible? What I learned at Holden, I learned what a horoscope is. Not good. A horoscope is, yeah, depending on the birth date, you're born, some people would say, under an astrological sign. And there are people, quote, that make big bucks trying to tell you what's going to happen to you today because of that astrological sign. And there are also people who won't sneeze until they see their horoscope. Okay? Okay, it's nine. You say you didn't know. Let's hear from the senior member of the group. It's nine. Why?
I don't see how they relate that to God anyway. It's just the stars. I mean, I know God sort of created the stars, and I believe that, but that's the only connection I see.
Okay, Jason.
I just don't see anything wrong with having a little, just looking at it together, not really planning your day, but just like seeing it.
Okay, difference between looking at it and planning your day by it. We had a president of the United States whose wife would plan his schedule by looking at his horoscope. The man is a Californian, okay? Go ahead.
Oh, a lot of people look at the horoscopes, and they may be religious too. That really doesn't make a difference. I mean, God uses everything on the earth and everywhere else. I mean, everywhere else is a tool of doing different things. I mean, every animal, every tree is a tool in either helping the earth. I mean, so I think the stars are kind of the same way. In some way or another, they are important. And whether or not we try to use them as tools is it saying, oh yeah, we make a horoscope, so that's some way of using the planets to decide what our lives are going to be like.
Okay.
I think that may be a little kind of out of it, but at least they're using the same tools that, you know, God made.
And okay.
That's something that was created by him, so it can't be that bad.
Okay. John.
Yes.
Yes. Why? Tell us.
Why I'm over here?
Yes. Correct.
And I'm over here because it's exit. Okay.
Because you believe it is a wrongful use of God's name to use a horoscope to plan your day.
I probably think it is.
Okay.
I'm sort of halfway, but I don't. It's so ridiculous. I think I look at it, I sort of laugh at all these people who are making these millions of bucks planning horoscopes and so forth.
Okay.
And yet, every once in a while, I take my newspaper and, oh, here's the horoscope. Let's see what Libra says today.
Oh, I'm a Libra too.
Oh, all right.
That's three of us. Oh. Okay. You aren't a
Libra? Aries.
Okay. Back here. Tell me your first name again.
Dietrich.
Why?
Well, I'm with Father here. I forgot his name.
John.
Libra. I'm kind of, you know, halfway in between. I think if you really plan your day, as it says here, then I think it would be against God's commandments. But if you just read it and get at entertainment out of it, I don't think that could be considered a wrongful use of God's word.
One of the main important things of the second commandment is that God is trying to say this relationship that you have through the name is the most important relationship that you have. Okay? Jason.
I also want to say, if the horoscope thing, if it's wrong, then why do a lot of Lutherans do it and, look at it and just, have fun with it? Because my mom and, my whole family, they, look at the horoscope or whatever.
Oh, sure. Sir? Okay.
And also, I don't see, it anywhere in, the commandments or anything about horoscopes. It only says sorcery and things like that.
Okay. Sorcery or witchcraft. Interesting. Anybody had any experience with that? Sorcery or witchcraft?
It comes from the devil.
I know that.
I mean, no, I'm serious. What I'm saying is, Satanism and the cult of Satanism is alive and well. Jason.
You asked if anybody had anything to do with sorcery at any point in time, and part of my family, not part of it, but my sister and I had a little bit to do with it. We studied it for a little while, and that's about it.
Okay, okay. But it's alive and well, and good point. Let's, Paul, why are you over here?
It's more comfortable to be against horoscopes than to be for.
Oh.
Actually.
Talk about your level of comfort then.
Well, the comfort is, if I use it for amusement, that's one thing, but if I'm so serious that it dictates my life, then it becomes something that's wrong.
Okay.
I think there's a difference.
Bob.
Well, maybe it goes back to what you were saying about it's like you're putting this horoscope above what God would want you to do.
Okay. Okay.
It's not that you're saying, God damn it, but you're in the way that you plan your day, you're discounting God.
Okay. We are faith motivated Christians. Your perspective could be exactly right, where you say it could be a tool, God has created everything, etc. The flip side of that, you know, the casual user, the Surgeon General has said that cigarette smoking is hazardous to our health, and a lot of Lutherans smoke, too. You know? What does that mean? I'm not sure. I'm saying that maybe they're not taking care of their body the way God wanted them to take care of their body. Okay, let's continue. Let's jump down to 10. Someone uses curses and street language, but does not use the name of God when speaking. Is that a wrongful use of God's name or not? It is a wrongful use of God's name. It isn't.
Like they use God's name, like cursing in like street language?
They don't. Listen again. Okay? Someone uses curses and street language, but does not use the name of God.
Okay.
When speaking.
Well, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Okay? It is a wrongful use of God's name.
Okay. I don't think it's
it isn't a wrongful use of God's name.
It's offensive to people.
Here, read it. If you need to read it. Yeah, just F whatever. Okay? Fill in the blanks. Okay? It is a wrongful use, it isn't. Alright, let's talk to the people in between. Again. I'm getting old. I don't remember names.
Jeremy.
Jeremy. You're in between. Oh, you're not in between. Why isn't it?
Because you aren't using as many. Choose.
Okay, we have a lot. These are the literalists. Todd.
I don't think it's right, but I think it shows disrespect for other people and doesn't extend God's love to the people around you. But I don't know that it directly relates directly to this commandment.
Okay. Tell me your name.
Laura.
Okay, Laura.
If they don't believe in God, because they might be a different religion, doesn't mean they have to be Christian. So they might not use this name if they don't believe in him.
Okay, okay. Laura.
The thing about that is Jesus, our God, his name is Jesus, but everybody has a different God, so they could use God as a name in vain.
The issue is street language here now. Street language and cursing. Go ahead, Jason.
I think that at first it's like an image or whatever, but after a while some people start to get into the habit where they cannot stop cursing. It's like an addiction or something.
Yeah, I was a basketball player in high school, and if you walked into the locker room at any given time, it would be very interesting what you would hear. Okay, Brian.
Depends on what you're using. If you don't use God's name, it's not that bad, but it's right that cursing is not all that good. But it really depends on where you're using, what you're cursing for.
Say more about that. Well, what would be the differences?
Well, it would be very bad if you're cursing at someone, but if you're frustrated and don't like really yell it out and like let everybody else can hear it, but if you just like stay quiet, then it's not that bad.
Okay, let's hear from the yes it is. Go ahead, your name.
Rosetta. Well, but you know, the Second Amendment says we should not curse, and I think if they're cursing, they are in a way using God's name. You know, they're in their back of their mind. That's what they're doing.
One of the issues of the Second Commandment is, again, to respect not only the relationship that you have with God, but the relationship that you have with one another. My big problem with cursing is that it is so much dehumanizing. Most of the sexual curses, especially, turn people into objects. When you think about all especially guys, when we get into that. Okay? And unfortunately, I don't have virgin ears, nor do I have a virgin tongue. Okay? Ministers, all at times, are not exempt from this. We're human like everybody else. But part of the problem with cursing is that it degrades people. And it degrades the relationship that you have with people. And the issue, again, with the Second Commandment is to respect the name, is to respect the relationship, and to respect the names of one another is to respect the relationships that God has given us with one another. You're doing a wonderful job. We're going to do one more, and then we're going to switch. Okay. Let's see. Number 11. Someone refuses... No, let's go to number 13. 20... Kirby Puckett used to do this a lot. Someone makes the sign of the cross before stepping into the batter's box. Is that a wrongful use of God's name? It is? It isn't. Pardon? Somebody does... Anybody do that on the Padres?
Is that a wrongful use? Oh, there's a lot of guys now. Or when they run a touchdown, they go down and pray.
You bet.
And,
okay. You know, okay.
The sign of the cross.
It isn't. Paul, you haven't moved.
Oh, I don't think it's wrong. I think it's popular usage. And I don't think they have an intention of being offensive with what they're doing.
Okay. Dietrich.
Who are we to judge?
Okay.
If the man is sincere in what he's doing out there or using.
That's like that one about the sales guy praying that he sells something or something.
Okay. That's cool.
Like hitting on you.
Okay. Now, what I want you to do is to return to your seats, and I need three volunteers. Unfortunately, okay, I need one male, two girls. You'll be a narrator. I need two girls. Okay? You want to be, you be Karen?
Laura.
Laurel, and you be Karen's mother. Okay? Okay. This is called Rated R. We need another one.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it's 6.
Rated R.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, narrator, start, please. We're on page 6. Narrator, start. And your name is Karen, and your mom, correct? Okay, go ahead, narrator.
Karen was a normal, active, and intelligent 13-year-old. She attended church regularly. She was very well-liked at her school, and she was the oldest of three children, which sometimes made her feel as if she had to be the role model for her brother and sister, a role that she often did not want to play. One day she came home from school with an invitation to a sleepover from a girl named Michelle. Although Karen knew Michelle, she was not a close friend. When Karen found out that all her friends would be there, she was more determined than ever to attend. The invitation read, "We will be going to a movie and then out for some pizza.
We will bring the girls home around 8 a.m. Karen was not optimistic about her chances for attending the party. However, she knew her mother and she knew how overly protective she could be. In spite of her fears and questions, Karen decided to show the invitation to her mother anyway, hoping that this time would be different. When Karen showed the invitation to her mother, the questions began, and unfortunately, her suspicions were confirmed. Karen, I need to call Michelle's mother.
Okay, wait a minute. Yeah.
Karen, I need to call Michelle's mother and find out more details about the sleepover. By the way, what movie is this? What is the movie rated that you're going to see?
Mom, I think it's rated R, but it could be PG-13.
What? Karen's mom explained.
Oh, wait a minute. What? And then you said Karen's mom explained.
What?
Karen's mom explained.
There's no way that I will allow my daughter to attend an R-rated movie. After all, to be R-rated means too much sex and violence in it.
But mother, Karen Clark.
Besides, Karen.
Karen's mother continued without even catching her breath.
The language in R-rated movies is language I will not tolerate in this house.
Mother,
Karen continued.
If you came to my middle school and heard the language I hear every day, you would have to rate my middle school R2.
Karen, I realize that. My problem with people using bad language is that it shows so little respect. It shows so little respect for their relationships. I don't like that. And I don't think my daughter has to see movies like that.
Mother,
Karen cried.
Okay, thanks. Good job.
Good job.
Okay, now, if we were in a classroom setting, we would break into small groups. Why don't we do that right now? Let's break into groups of... Okay, now, your assignment, people, is to answer the questions. To answer the questions and to talk about them, please. Need to break in. Please listen, okay? Next assignment. Listen to the word of God, first of all. This is from Exodus 3, verses 13 through 15. Moses answered, "I will tell the people of Israel that God, their ancestors, worshipped has sent me to them. But what should I say if they ask me your name?" God said to Moses, "I am the eternal God. So tell them that the Lord, whose name is I Am, has sent you. This is my name forever, and it is the name that people must see from now on." In your small groups, in the next minute, think of as many names as possible for God that you can. Someone keep track of how many names, and somebody keep track. Okay, and yeah, okay, how many?
We got
17. 17. Give me some.
Savior.
Redeemer.
Lord.
Well, okay. First of all, Savior, Redeemer, Lord. Anybody know what Redeemer means? We know what Savior means. We know what Lord means. What does Redeemer mean?
Redeem us from sin. For
Savior.
Giver of sins.
Redeemer means literally what?
Buy us.
Buy us back
from sin.
From the power of sin.
Yes.
Okay? 17. This group, how many?
13.
Name some that haven't been named. Give me three that haven't been named.
Creator.
Living water.
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Anybody know what Emmanuel means? Not this group. God with us. Okay, go ahead. That's enough, okay? This group.
Let's see.
27.
Oh, we got pastors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, those pastors. They're all over. Abba. What's Abba mean?
Father.
Okay.
We have Creator.
Okay.
We have Alpha and Omega.
Okay, Alpha and Omega. What does that mean?
Beginning and end.
Okay. The first letter and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Okay. How many?
15.
Give me names that haven't been named.
Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Nobody said Jesus. Yeah. Nobody. Okay, Jesus.
Christos.
Christus. Messiah. You know that? You know that Christ and Messiah mean the same thing. Kids, do you know that?
That was something Daniel wrote.
It means the anointed one. All right. Okay. Good job. Now, couple things. Tomorrow, first of all, thank you for coming. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the fifth commandment. We're going to talk about a situation in which a woman, a 40-year-old woman, has a cerebral hemorrhage, and she has to be pulled off of life support. We're going to talk about the way we kill each other with words. Please, come back. Finally, we close. Let me read these words. I'm on page 8. Your name is important to you. You want people to respect you. You also want people to respect your name. How we speak, what we say, and how we say it can be a real indication of the respect we have for people, things, and for God. Think of ways you would like to continue to show people that you not only respect God's name, but you respect the relationship that God has given you as a child of God. There is a hymn, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," on the left-hand margin. Let's read that together. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Couple things for adults that are new. I also have written some things for Oxford Youth and Family Institute. These are yours to take. If you want them, this is a copy of Bible Basics, which I wrote. If you want to look at that, since we have had so many, I'm going to ask that you deposit the books back, and we can take them out tomorrow again. Thanks for coming. Please come again.